What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 66, and today we're going to be talking about stress and specifically how stress can affect your health and can make you fat in a heartbeat. So everyone, you know, you can have your diet on point, you can be eating right and training, but if you're stressed out all the time, it's going to be real hard to lose weight. So we're going to talk about why that is and kind of how you can mitigate that. But first, let's do a quick check-in. So, Tom, how's your week been?
Man, it's been great. I am loving training again. I'm so glad I took that two-month break off. If not for any, like, obviously it lowered my stress, which is definitely a great benefit. We're going to talk about that today. But just making me love training again. You know, just taking a break from something, and you don't really realize how much you miss it until you get back at it. Man, like, I need to start reining myself in, because yesterday I did a double day. For no reason other than I was just bored, and I was like, I could work out again.
So what the workouts?
Oh, it's legs and shoulders. So complete opposites.
Legs in the morning?
Legs in the morning. Shoulders was supposed to be today. Mm-hmm. I got the new Disney Plus. I don't know if you have that or not.
No, I heard of it though.
Okay. So they have tons of movies on there and everything. So I was watching a movie. I was watching the new Avengers. It's a 3-hour movie. It is really hard to sit for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, if I'm going to sit for 3 hours, let me be productive about it. So I got in my shoulder workout and then biked for about, I think, like an hour and a half total.
Oh, because you have the bike in the living room still.
Yeah, I have the bike just pointed at the TV.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of like in my way if I'm sitting on the couch to watch the TV, just reminding me like, hey, get off the couch, you lazy ass, and ride the bike inside.
Yeah.
So like, I can't do the bike for that long, like straight. I don't know, it's just not comfortable enough.
Oh, the seat's hard.
Yeah, so like I can't just deal with that for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So 30 minutes on, 30 minutes off. Yeah. But yeah, I've been training. Everything's been going great. My diet's not quite where it was before, but it's getting there.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. I'm happy.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just loving training. Glad I took that little break off.
Yeah. I mean, I say it a million times. We grew up in the gym, so we've been training over half our lives. Like, it's just who we are. So for you to take that much time off, that shows a lot of self-discipline on your part. That's not in your nature.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to take, like, a day off. It's easy to be lazy for a day, but then to just do that day after day, I had to, like, hide my weights and just kind of, like, put all that stuff out of mind as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga was something, but not enough. I don't know. I feel relaxed when I'm done with yoga. When I'm done working out, like, I feel like, I know I can't take down a tiger. I probably couldn't even take down a house cat, but I feel like I'm ready to go to war with the tiger.
Exactly.
So it's a completely different mindset.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I feel like King Kong after I work out. Yeah, for sure. Actually, yeah, that's when you talk about what's new with me. As far as working out goes, so it was my wife's birthday a few days back. We went on a hike. So, I worked out in the morning. I wasn't going to go with them, but then her plans changed. She's like, hey, do you want to go hike with us? I was like, okay, I'll go. So we went on a 4-hour hike, and I'm not built for hiking. You know what I mean? It's just not in my wheelhouse. I'd rather lift weights than hike any day. But the following day, which was yesterday, I kind of felt my calves were a little sore, and I felt my left Achilles a little bit. Not bad. On a scale of like 1 to 10, it's like a 2. It was just like normal soreness, you know? But this morning, I was supposed to train legs, and I did my little stretches, did my warm-up, and I felt my Achilles still. I was like, oh, just, you know, once I get warmed up, I'll feel better. Once I get warmed up, I'll feel better. And I got underweight. You can see there's just one plate on the bar right now. And as soon as I was going to start with traditional just barbell squats, and as soon as I broke my knees, I felt my Achilles, and I stopped.
That's smart.
That's smart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As soon as I heard you say, like, oh, my Achilles was sore, it's like, no, do it.
I know. But you know it's in my nature to do it. So I really was kind of proud of myself that I just, I don't know, maybe I'm getting smart with age, or maybe I'm just looking for an excuse not to train legs. It's probably that one. But whatever, I just didn't train. I ended up just doing like abs, a little bit of stretching, and cardio, and called it a day.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to mess around with your Achilles. No. Like, that's an injury that even, like, professional athletes don't recover from.
With the best trainers, the best recovery. Yeah,
I mean, Kobe had everything going for him, like, everything at his disposal. He never really recovered from his.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of other examples out there, too. That's just, like, the most recent. Yeah, I wouldn't want to play around with an Achilles.
It's not worth it. Yeah. So I let it go. I'll try again tomorrow morning. We'll see how it goes. But taking one extra day off isn't going to kill me. And I know that.
Oh, and you could. Did you train something else?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You didn't do core or do.
Well, no, I did abs.
Okay.
And then I stretched, and then I did cardio.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So I'll try it tomorrow morning. If I don't, if my leg still hurts or my Achilles is still kind of tender, I'll probably just start my week off again and do maybe like a chest day or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, and just push my legs back a day. And I can just honestly consider that hike like my leg workout. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it probably was. Four hours going up and down hills all the time. Like, if your Achilles is sore, it's probably because you...
From work.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we went up to Auburn and did... you ever been up to Auburn? Have you done the hike that's to the dam?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I've ran a lot of
but all those. Yeah, you probably have.
It's I don't cool. know where anything is because I always go with a group mm-hmm. and I just follow somebody in front of me
and so. Just keep going.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. I recommend it. People are out there. There's a dam, and are all dams made to produce electricity?
I believe so.
Is that the only reason to dam something?
No, I mean, there's other reasons, like agriculture. I mean, people have been doing dams for a long time, just to put the water somewhere else, or to make a reservoir. Yeah, there's plenty of other reasons, just fresh drinking water.
Yeah, I had no clue. There, my wife was asking me, oh, what's up with this dam? And I was like, because it's not a big dam. I was like, does this produce electricity? I don't know. So, yeah, I guess I don't know a lot about dams.
I'm sure it probably does. I mean, wow. I don't know if some do, I would think that they probably all do at some point. Maybe it's just not enough to light up the entire state of California, but maybe Auburn.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know that much about that.
Yeah, me either. But I told her, I was like, honey, I can't know everything about everything, okay? I was like, I know a lot about some things, but I don't know shit about dams. But, yeah. And also this week, I did a lot of kind of reflection and studying on salt and hydration and water. So if you listened to last week's podcast, we did it on... was it on cold exposure?
Yes, cold exposure.
I get this shit all mixed up at this point. But so initially, I really wanted to do a podcast on salt, hydration, that type of stuff. But my sources of information were kind of giving me a few different answers. And it was kind of messing with my whole, just what I thought I knew about things. So this week, I went through this book called The Salt Fix from James D. Nicolantonio. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I butcher that guy's last name every time
I say it. It's confusing, man. It's three names combined.
It is. Even looking at how you spell it, it's like 15 letters. But, so I went through his claims he makes about performance, and I read every paper he cited with those claims. You know what I mean? And I cross-referenced those with papers Noakes wrote about his performance, right?
That book is Waterlogged.
Yeah, Waterlogged by Tim Noakes. And, It was honestly a lot of work. I think I read 7 papers this one day, just back and forth. And I have notes on it. So I have notes for the podcast we do on hydration. But it's I learned a lot. And it was just something that happened. I texted you about this. It came up in both of them clear as day to me. And I was able to see it because I am a jack of all trades. Because I do know a little bit about a lot of things. That when both of these guys step outside their specific fields, they both do the fallacy, the appeal to authority fallacy. So when Noakes talks about high salt, which he would admit he knows nothing about, he always goes to, well, the experts say high salt causes high blood pressure, and high blood pressure is linked to heart disease, therefore high salt's bad. Even though he knows nothing about that, that's just what the norm is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not true. We know that's not true. But Noakes does that, and James D. Nicolantonio, what he does it with is he says, okay, salt during performance causes you to lose less total body water. The less total body water you lost, the more hydrated you'll be, the less chance you'll have of heat stroke, and you'll perform better. And that is an appeal to authority in that sports world. notes were a whole book on why that's been BS. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when they both get outside their respective fields, they just do the appeal to authority, and they don't really go from there. They just cite these things, and then they move on. So
they're comparing, so they have A equals B. They're assuming, because they've been told, that B equals C. So they're making that conclusion that A equals C, when the B equals C part's in question.
Yes. Yeah.
So you can't make A equals C in that point.
No, you can't with either of them. And so I definitely have my own ideas on this, and I'll talk about it more in the hydration podcast. I don't want to talk about it more here, because it's honestly, it'll be a 30-minute conversation, like it really would be, but...
Oh, yeah, I know. After this podcast is done, we're going to talk about this for 30 minutes. We've been doing this the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, we have, yeah. But just to end it here, like, my recommendations with salt really wouldn't change.
Okay.
That's really the end goal. I don't know if salt during training is how beneficial it is, but for anybody else, any advice I've given about salt is going to stay the same. And I read a shit ton of papers on salt this last week. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of interesting stuff. A lot of interesting stuff. And I don't know. I actually had a real good time learning about it. And I just feel, I don't know, I feel smarter. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, definitely. That's a really big book. And that's probably like the most complex book out there on water. Mm-hmm. The most complete guide to water.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And Noakes, and I sent you that page on Noakes. He doesn't write in a very, smooth fashion.
No, it's a textbook.
It's a legit textbook. Yeah. It's not, a very easy book at all. So, but yeah. So that was all with me. That was all that's new with me this week. I was doing a lot of reading on salt, and,
we'll do a podcast on that eventually.
Yeah,
once we kind of get all these conclusions dialed in a little bit better.
Yeah, for sure. We 100% will.
And I'm glad you're doing it, because I would love to read Waterlogged. I just don't know where I'm going to find the time to read it.
Yeah, I honestly shouldn't even read it, because it's not the information in that book is not going to change my training at all. It might change your training, but we'll talk about it in the podcast, obviously. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's okay. But yeah, I guess now that's not a good transition, but we can start the topic of the podcast, which is going to be stress and how stress makes you fat, and honestly, it can make you really sick. And it's something, if you've ever worked with us before, when we do meal plans and we write out programs for people, we always have a bullet point. And if you go on our website, I have a question about your overall stress levels, because when you're stressed out, it's going to be real hard to lose weight because of how stress kind of the hormone does to our body. So it's real important to get your stress under control if you want to lose any weight. Like, that's something we tell people all the time.
Yeah, the example that we like to use is, even if you're not eating a Krispy Kreme donut, your body still thinks it is because it's going to tap into its own glycogen stores and release pretty much an equal amount of sugar into your bloodstream. So just because you're not consuming any sugar, you kind of still are, because you're still getting the same effects from your own body.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's kind of hard for people to wrap their heads around sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because pretty much everything with fat loss has to do with lowering insulin.
Yeah.
That's going to be the primary takeaway from all of our messages about just losing fat. And what happens when you get stressed? Cortisol raises blood sugar. That raised blood sugar raises insulin. That raised insulin means fat storage is going to increase. Fat oxidation, that means burning fat for fuel, decreases. So even if you're not drinking soda or eating donuts, still having a similar effect.
Yep, still having a similar effect. So yeah, so let's just break down exactly what we'll do. And this is an overview of everything, the whole process from the brain to our fat cells. And I think it's pretty thorough, and I like the way it's all written out. So hopefully you learned something. But obviously, Tom mentioned it. I think I've already said it as well. The primary stress hormone we're going to be talking about is cortisol. And I think in our world, that's a very common hormone. But I think even the layman out there knows cortisol, you know?
I mean, they should. Stress is such a big thing in our society. I mean, yeah. If you only know maybe 3 or 4 hormones, cortisol is probably one of them.
Cortisol is probably one of them, yeah. So in a stressful situation, the hypothalamus, which is just an area in our brain, sends a signal to our pituitary gland, which is a pea-sized gland attached to the base of our brain, which then fires off hormonal messengers to our adrenal glands, which are located at the top of each kidney, which then releases cortisol. So this, and that's confusing as shit. I wish the body hormone system was a little more straightforward, but it's not, you know? But this three-part hormonal system is often referred to as HPA axis, so hypothalamus pituitary adrenals axis for short. And all of this is out of our conscious control. So it's part of the autonomic nervous system. So the autonomic nervous system has two basic divisions. So you have the sympathetic division, which is fight or flight. And then you have the parasympathetic system, which is rest and digest. And you can think of this almost like a yin and yang. So one turns one off, another one will turn things on. They kind of work in unison with each other, you know, black and white, yin and yang.
So one thing I do want to point out is we do have these two different nervous systems, but it's not like we're in one or the other. It's we're kind of like in both at all times. Like sometimes we're in more of a sympathetic, sometimes we're in more of a parasympathetic, but it's not like it's all or nothing. It's
talking about that dimmer switch before.
Yeah, exactly. And part of the problem with stress is if we go back to caveman days, we would be in a much more sympathetic state. We'd be in a fight or flight. We'd get that stress release. We'd get that elevated blood sugar. And then we'd actually do something positive with that elevated blood sugar. We'd be sprinting either after a buffalo to kill it or away from a tiger so it doesn't kill us. Or, you know, something along those lines. We're doing something with that elevated blood sugar. The problem with today's world is that somebody cuts us off in traffic, our life is threatened, and now we're sitting for the next 45 minutes not doing anything with that elevated blood sugar.
Only moving our finger muscles.
Yeah, so we're not doing any sort of sprinting. Maybe we're like slamming on the gas pedal and driving faster, or slamming on the brake, getting a little bit of extra exercise, but nothing really. So we're not really doing anything with that elevated blood sugar. And that's where all the problems really arise.
Exactly. So in the heart, just to talk about the yin and yang a little bit, the parasympathetic signals slow down your heartbeat and the sympathetic signals accelerate your heartbeat. In our liver, the parasympathetic signal stimulates the release of bile, which makes sense if you think of parasympathetic rest and digest, like bile is there to digest fats, while the sympathetic signal causes our livers to break down glycogen to glucose. And this action of the sympathetic nervous system on the liver is going to be really the focus here. That's how our body's creating all this sugar. It's telling our liver literally to break down its stored glycogen and release it into the blood supply, just like you ate a piece of candy. As far as our body tells, it's the same exact thing. So,
there is a little bit of an issue. Like, where is that glycogen going to come from if you're constantly stressed? Eventually, you're going to have to start tapping into other sources to make more glucose.
Well, cortisol not only affects your liver, but it also affects your muscles to release amino acids. And those amino acids can also get turned into sugar as well. And it also hits our fatty cells and causes our fat cells to release free fatty acids, which then can be converted into glucose as well. So it kind of gives our body three sources of energy real fast.
Which, yeah, is good if you're...
It's great if a fucking tiger's fighting.
Yeah, if you're actually going to use that energy in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're using amino acids from our muscles, that means we're getting weaker. We're losing muscles.
Yep.
We're losing muscular strength,
mm-hmm.
which is not a good thing.
Hey, getting weak is never a good thing. Strength is never a weakness. You know what I'm saying? So when something like that causes your body to break down muscle for your fuel, hey, if it means it's going to save your life in this moment, it's worth it. I'll eat a steak tomorrow and I'll put the muscle back on. But if I die, I can't eat that steak.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So through this, there's a condition that relates to high cortisol all the time. And it's called Cushing's disease. So I went through and I was like, all right, what's going on with people with Cushing's disease? And what can we learn from them? Because obviously they're going to be just like somebody out there who's constantly stressed. And someone with Cushing's disease has a tumor on their pituitary gland that pumps out too much corticotropin. And this is a precursor hormone, which in turn stimulates cortisol release from the adrenal glands. So what are the problems with people with Cushing's disease? So they have high blood sugar and insulin resistance.
Sounds a lot like diabetes.
Sounds a lot like diabetes, right?
So with Cushing's disease, that means that they're pretty much always stressed out.
Always stressed out. Okay. Yes. Like they're honestly, even if they're just chilling in bed, their cortisol's through the roof. And it sounds like a terrible thing, to be honest. But this study right here is called Pathophysiology of Diabetes Mellitus in Cushing's Syndrome. And again, I have these studies linked on the website, so if you're interested, you can read them. Actually, none of these are very long. They're fairly easy reads, so I recommend it. But this is a quote. glucocorticoid excess. That, I hate that word, by the way. It's so, just the way it's spelt, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of circles in there.
Yeah, right? It's kind of hard to read, but that just means cortisol excess induces a stimulation of gluconeogenesis in the liver, as well as inhibition of insulin sensitivity both in the liver and in the skeletal muscles, which represent the most important sites responsible for glucose metabolism.
So basically, they're so stressed out all the time that they constantly need to be creating more glucose. They probably already have a lot of glucose already, but they need more and more. The only place to get that is from their muscles because their liver is so depleted all the time.
Sucks, man.
So I'm sure they're skinny fat.
Skinny fat, 100%, yeah.
And I don't think this is mentioned anywhere, but I would not be surprised if there's a lot of depression and other like mental disorders with these people.
I didn't look into that, but I bet you're right.
I mean, just thinking of it, like if you're stressed out all the time, I'm sure something, I would have some sort of mental breakdown.
Yeah.
And then just like if you're skinny fat, that can't be good for your self-esteem either, leading more and more to depression. And if all this is going on, there's got to be some other sort of issues up in your brain as well.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine that there's not.
Yeah, no, definitely. All this stuff is definitely tied to how we feel and how we feel about ourselves, 100%. So these people, like, obviously you think these people would have high chances or high rates of diabetes. So this study is called Diabetes Mellitus Secondary to Cushing's Disease. And so it says cortisol excess can lead to diabetes. And although its prevalence is probably underestimated, up to 50% of patients with Cushing's disease have varying degrees of altered glucose metabolism. So they're saying 50%, and that's not even probably accurate. It's probably more than that. And really, why it's underestimated is because the way doctors diagnose diabetes is they diagnose it via blood sugars. And honestly, this is a horrible way to track diabetes. By the time your blood sugar is out of whack, you've already gone too far. Like, the body tries so hard to keep blood sugar in line. And I thought of this kind of, I don't know, metaphor to describe it a little bit. So it's like if you see a fire approaching your house. This is actually kind of relevant. We live in California. California is pretty much on fire. I think the fires are kind of under control a little bit now, huh?
Sort of. The air quality is shit right now, and it has been the last few days, so
yeah,
maybe there's some more. I don't know. I need to be watching the news a little bit more.
Yeah, I guess I haven't, but there's been a bunch of fires lately. But if you see a fire approaching your house, you can think of that fire as insulin resistance, right? That's diabetes. So you call the fire department. They show up to the fire, but they wait outside your house until the fire completely covers your house. And that moment, you can think of blood sugar being elevated, and then they turn on the hoses, and they put out the fire. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why not turn on the hoses when you see the fire approaching the house? And that's when someone starts to develop symptoms of insulin resistance. That's when you want to intervene. Why wait to turn on the hoses when your house is already burnt to the ground?
Well, I know the answer to that, but I don't really like it. I mean, it's money, but...
It's money, and that's the only way they know how to treat it, is when your sugar is that elevated, they can sell you insulin and bring your blood sugar back down, which is sad, you know? But, I don't know. The best way, by the way, to track for diabetes isn't blood sugar. Your blood sugar can stay under 100, and you can be diabetic as shit. So, you want to get something called a HOMA-IR test. It's H-O-M-A-I-R. And that's because that actually measures your insulin levels and how sensitive you are to insulin. So you want that number to ideally be below 1. So if you're interested about there and you think you might have diabetes or someone in your family tends to, you have a history of diabetes in the family, get a HOMA test and that'll help you kind of better, I don't know, direct your diet and health style advice.
Well, and like, so just because you don't have diabetes, that doesn't mean you're healthy. Insulin resistance, we've talked about it many times, and that can show up in so many other different diseases as well. It's not just about diabetes. You can still have like heart disease that goes right along with insulin resistance.
High blood pressure,
mm-hmm. Pretty much any
Alzheimer's.
Any sort of chronic disease.
It's there.
Yeah. So, I mean, like insulin resistance is like that first step. That's really what you should be testing for.
Yep. And that's when you want to make those changes. That's when you want to have that intervention. So yeah, so people with Cushing's disease, again, they have high cortisol levels all the time. They have a greater chance of diabetes, but they also have a greater chance of having a gut. And that's really a problem. Tom talked about skinny fat earlier. That's exactly what happens. They have a redistribution of fat from the extremities to the core. So think of having skinny arms and a big beer belly, which is not a good look at all. And honestly, that's why, I mean, maybe this is, I don't know, judgy of me, I guess, but you see these people out there, skinny little arms. They're 240 pounds. They got it. These are, I'm talking about men specifically. They're walking around. They're 9 months pregnant. And they'll say like, oh, blood sugar's under control. I'm fine. I'm like, no, you're not, bro. Your body is screaming at you that this is not right. You know, there's nothing healthy about that physique. But this happens because we have two different types of fat in our body. We have subcutaneous fat and visceral fat. So subcutaneous fat sits right under our skin and it's found all over the place. It'll be like on the top of your head to the tip of your toes. That type of fat you can grab, that's subcutaneous fat. And visceral fat is mainly found around our organs and our abdomen. So cortisol acts on these fats differently. And this is definitely putting it as simply as possible. I don't know if any like biochemists out there really listen to this, but if you do, don't tear me to pieces. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to make this as straightforward as possible. But in the nutshell, cortisol is a catabolic hormone, so it causes things to break down. And as we talked about earlier, it causes the liver to break down glycogen to glucose. It also causes our muscles to break down protein to amino acids, and it causes our subcutaneous fat to release fat as free fatty acids. However, cortisol stimulates visceral fat to do the exact opposite. It prompts visceral fat to absorb those recently released free fatty acids and store them. And I think of visceral fat almost like an emergency fail-safe in this scenario, because it's not healthy to have sugar, fat, and amino acids all elevated in our blood at the same time for so long. So visceral fat kind of gives our body somewhere to dump these extra fatty acids when they need to. Because like Tom said, we have a natural response to cortisol that's super healthy. If, I don't know, somebody breaks into your house in the middle of the night, you better hope you have some fat in your blood, some sugar in your blood, so you can get up and fight or get up and run quickly. You're going to want that and you're going to use that, and you're not going to have this problem with storing visceral fat. But when you're chilling and say you're arguing with your wife all night and you're stressed for 2 weeks on end, you constantly have these things elevated in your blood that is not healthy, that is causing damage. Your body has to put that shit somewhere, and visceral fat is the place it goes. And that's why these people have very huge stomachs, because their visceral fat grows and grows and grows. And you see this, honestly, with like bodybuilders. You can have a six pack and have something called like a bubble gut, they call it in this world. And they have all this visceral fat from excess cortisol, but no subcutaneous fat. And it's just super unhealthy. Excess visceral fat and just this central obesity, it's called, is linked to metabolic syndrome and pretty much every chronic disease out there. So it's not a healthy thing at all. It pretty much just makes you have no muscle and a beer belly. Like, who wants that?
Not me. I mean, that's like the ultimate dad bod. That sounds horrible. Ultimate dad bod. Yeah. So if you just think about the way like our bodies are designed to work. So we get stressed out. Sure, maybe we lose a little bit of muscle mass because we need that protein to break it down into amino acids so we can do gluconeogenesis in our liver. Okay, so sure, that's fine in the small term. But what happens as a result of that? We're doing something that's really going to tax our muscles. So we're also sending signals to our body that, hey, once we do get food, rebuild these muscles bigger and stronger than they were before, because these are the type of stresses that they're under. And then what happens when in today's world, we don't put our muscles through those stressors when we're stressed. So we don't make those adaptations that we're designed to do.
There's no signal to induce growth.
No, not at all. So that's why we're not growing in the right places.
Yes.
I mean, all of this is
that's just, such a good point.
Yeah. And stress can be anything. Like, honestly, just working out in itself is a stressor.
Yes.
But that's what we're designed to do. That's like the right appropriate use of cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
Is to send all that blood sugar to our muscles. Our muscles are going to work and we're going to burn it up. So it's a good thing. And then we're also getting signals, hey, build back these muscles bigger and stronger.
When you're done, when the cortisol is decreased, rebuild this shit. And when you rebuild it, build it stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I'd never thought of it that way, but that's true. No one gives their signal or their body the right messages to grow appropriate anymore. They just don't. Girls are scared to lift weights because they think they're going to turn to bodybuilders. Trust me, ladies, you won't. Lifting weights is so healthy, you should definitely lift weights, but...
Oh, I tried to look like Arnold for, I don't know, a good, like, 7-8 years. I did not get very far. Like, I mean, I was, like,
eating... You were throwing up meals.
Yeah, I was eating to the point where I'd throw up. I was training once or twice a day. I don't think I was overtraining. I don't think that's what was holding me back. But it's just, like, yeah, I think I put on 25 pounds. Was, like, the most I ever put on in a year.
Yeah.
And that was going from cutting weight from wrestling to finally I have time to eat all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I was still, like, Not even close.
Yeah, I always think that's so funny. People talk about, or at least women, they're like, you know, I don't want to lift weights. I don't want to look big. I'm like, yeah, that's so insulting to me. Like, I try so hard to look big, and I barely look like I work out. You know what I'm saying? And I'm doing everything I can. So, yeah.
Yeah, I always think that's funny.
It is funny.
Yeah, so it's like, we just send the wrong signal. It's like, yeah, working out is a stressor in itself. Not enough sleep is another one that not a lot of people think about.
Yep.
Sleep is a time where our bodies recover from all the stressors through the day. So if we don't have enough time to recover from yesterday's stressors, we're already starting off pretty much already stressed out.
Yeah, people don't realize, and I've talked about it with people, how important sleep is. And like you said, you know, we recover when we sleep and our body just repairs itself when we sleep, which is important enough, you know. But if you go through a day, it's actually been shown, just one night of poor sleep, I think it's under like 4 or 5 hours, you wake up the next day and your cortisol will be elevated. Your actually response to, it's leptin and ghrelin are the two kind of big appetite hormones. So ghrelin will tell you you're full, leptin will tell you you're hungry. Or is it the opposite? No, I think ghrelin tells you you're hungry, leptin tells you you're full.
Yes.
That's it, right? Because I think your fat cells release leptin, I'm pretty sure. But your response to those hormones will be blunted the following day. So you're going to feel hungrier the next day, and your cortisol is going to be elevated the next day. So not getting enough sleep, even if you don't think you're a very stressed out person, like, you know, you kind of go through life pretty chill, but you don't sleep enough, the following day, or if you do this chronically, you will chronically have elevated cortisol, and that's going to also negatively affect your dietary goals. It's going to be really, like I said in the beginning, it's going to be real hard to get the physique you want, to get the health results you want, if you're chronically stressed. It's going to be damn near impossible.
Yeah, so one person that's really big in this whole alternative health world, this ketogenic-like world, is Jimmy Moore. And he struggled, he's lost, I think, close to 200 pounds, but he struggled to get under 200.
I mean, he's still obese.
Yeah, he used to be like 400 pounds. I think he's like 220, 240, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So he's taking 6 months off because he's never really been able to like de-stress for like an extended period of time. So he's taking 6 months off to do that. So I'm really interested to see how he does after those 6 months off.
Well, he runs what, like 15 podcasts?
Yeah, he has a podcast every day out of the week. He's written several books. I think he's got more probably on the way. Running, he runs like his blog. I don't know, he's everything.
That's a lot.
He organizes events, he speaks at events, does all sorts of traveling. Mm-hmm. It sounds really stressful. Yeah, he's getting stressed just trying to think of all the things that stress him out.
Exactly. Like, the dude does a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so that's like one thing that he's really hoping to do is de-stress for 6 months, and then hopefully that'll help him lose a little bit of that stubborn body weight.
Because
it's probably the only thing that's really holding him back at this point.
Yeah, because he's done zero carb, he's tried carnivore.
He sticks to a pretty much carnivore-friendly diet now. I'm sure. Yeah. I think he still goes off of it from time to time, but yeah, mostly carnivore.
Yeah, so his diet's dialed in, so the one hole in his game is the stress.
Yeah, and if his diet isn't 100% dialed in, it's like 99% of the way there. So, you know, trying to make it 1% better really isn't going to have the same results as getting your stress from like a D up to like a B or an A.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of like what he's kind of focusing on.
And so I think what we talk about a lot is having your hormones work for you, not against you. And this is what we're talking about. Like, you don't want to go through and just bust your ass every day in the gym and then come home and have your, God forbid, your chicken and broccoli. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're really dieting hard. And then have your hormones kind of negate all your hard work. Like, that is an uphill battle. When you're fighting against your hormones, it's just, it's not, it can be done. You know what I mean? There's definitely hard-minded people out there who can push through damn near anything. But why? Like, it can be so much easier if you just find ways to de-stress and find ways to make your life kind of more peaceful.
Yeah, definitely. So, let's get into some of those ways to help de-stress.
Yeah.
The most effective way is going to be meditation. And that can be, I mean, meditation sounds really, like, I think hippie. I think of like a monk. Like, you don't need to be a trained monk who spends his entire life trying to be a better meditator. It's basically mindfulness, stillness, just being still, not doing anything, pretty much pretending like you're asleep. Taking a nap would be great, but if you don't have enough time to take a nap, just pretend like you're sleeping for 10 minutes. Just sit there, don't move, close your eyes, really focus on your long, slow, deep breaths, and that's a great way to de-stress. I mean, pretty much most anger management things can tell you take 10 like deep breaths, hey, that shit works. Like, your heart rate decreases so much in that time period. There's a lot of benefits to doing something like that. And it's just being still and mindful.
Yeah, we talked about in the cold exposure, simply like 5 minutes of cold exposure and like a cold shower can cause a huge metabolic advantage throughout the entire day. And it's not a big time commitment. This is just 5 minutes of meditation can cause a huge benefit through the entire day. It's not a huge time commitment. Like, we all have those 5 minutes. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, and even if you don't want to, like, actually set aside 5 minutes so you can go in a dark room, light some incense, and do all that, while you're doing the dishes, sit there, like, really focus on your controlled breathing. Maybe while you're doing some cooking, something that, you know, doesn't require that much energy, really just sit there, be mindful, take some long, slow, deep breaths, maybe close your eyes if you're capable of doing that. Don't do that if you're driving. But, you know, just kind of something along
those lines. Or, like, washing knives.
Yeah, you know, it's like, there's some times where you can do that, and I don't really have, like, a time where I'm, like, actually doing formal meditation, but I'll take, like, 10 to 15 times throughout the day where I'll really, like, every time I'm doing dishes, cooking, sitting at a traffic light, just any time I can, I'm like, okay, really control my breathing. I'll look at my heart rate monitor, and it's like, okay, it's at this. Let me see if I can get it down 10 beats in the next, like, 30 minutes. Or not 30 minutes, but, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I'll just play these little games with myself. And, you know, it works most of the time.
It does, yeah. And that's what we talk about, the whole dimmer switch. So you're slowly, there's a sympathetic and parasympathetic, right? The fight or flight, rest and digest. You just want that dimmer switch to go a little bit the other way. A little bit towards the rest side. That's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. If you are one of those people that's just, you have to constantly be moving. You can't just sit still. Yoga, Pilates, something along those lines is a great way. That way you're, with yoga, like, you're still moving. You're, like, you're still getting direction. So you're getting that exercise in. And then most, any, like, good yoga practice will start and end with pretty much meditation. You'll lay on your back. You'll be seated. You'll be in a comfortable seated position. You'll be in some sort of pose for about 5 to 10 minutes, depending on the practice. And that's a great way to de-stress. You just did one of these. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So hiking is a great way to de-stress. And especially if you're into that thing. For me personally, not very de-stressful. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not built for this shit. I'd rather lift 1,000 pounds and walk for 20 minutes up a damn hill. But that's just me. But for the vast majority of people, going outside and getting some fresh air and getting some sunlight, like, for my wife, she loves it. You know what I mean? That's, like, her happy place. She goes out there and she feels a million times better. So if you're like that, just go outside, get some fresh air, get some sunlight, which is extremely healthy, and that's a great way to de-stress.
Yeah, there's so many other benefits to just, like, hiking and, like, being in nature and sunlight. Like, I don't even know if we can really get into all of them. Things like grounding, just being, probably getting away from a lot of, like, the EMS. That you find in a normal city. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. And then just all the little, like, microbes and just stuff that you're going to be breathing in nature. Yeah. That, like, we're not exposed to that often. I'm sure that has, like, a lot to do with it. And just, like, sunlight exposure does so much to our hormones. It does. It's ridiculous. Yeah, that's such a great thing.
I think, it's actually sad, but it's just the way our lives are now. Like, I'm talking into a mic. I got a laptop right in front of my face. Us being exposed to EMFs, which are coming from our electronic devices, is our norm.
Yeah.
There's no way around it anymore. You know what I'm saying? If you're not listening to this podcast, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you're up in a mountain somewhere, right? But that feeling you feel when you go camping or you go up to, like, Auburn Hills and there's no electronics around, things kind of feel, you can genuinely, if you're aware, if you're in tune with it, you can feel a huge difference in yourself. It's almost like your anxiety just goes down a notch. That's just the reduction of these influences we're around every day, these electronic fields. And that's sad that should be the norm.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That we're not, it's supposed to be around this shit 24/7. We just are, you know?
Yeah, that's such a big one. One thing that I just think of every time I see hiking is, I don't know, back when I was, like, still dating and stuff, I was on, like, a couple of dating websites. And I'd say, like, 99% of people say that they love hiking.
Yeah.
What percentage of people actually love hiking? Like, one?
Not me, tell you that.
Like, I'm just always amazed, like, how many people just say that they love hiking, but when you actually invite them, like, do not want to go.
You know, to talk about this hiking a little bit, so I'm not a fan of this, right? I don't need to go outside, okay? I'm not stressed out. I'm chilling, okay? I'm reading books and shit, but, which is going to be our next tip, by the way. But when we were hiking, so by the end of it, I told you last week I read Can't Hurt Me Again.
Yeah.
So I've kind of been in an aggressive little mindset lately. That's a book by David Goggins. So he has this saying, and I've watched videos online, he says, who's going to carry the boats? So there's boats they carry in BUDS, which is like the Navy SEAL training, and apparently it's hard. Fuck if I know, I've never carried a boat, right?
But it sounds hard.
It sounds boats are big, yeah, heavy. Boats are heavy, yeah. Okay? So by like the second, like maybe 2/3 of the hike afterwards, I kind of just got in this mode, and in my head, I was just yelling, who's going to carry the fucking boats, right? And I started power hiking up this like hill. I turn around, I left my wife and my, what is my wife's sister? My sister-in-law?
Yes.
That's what she's called? My sister-in-law, like a legit, like mile behind me. And I just power, and she was actually kind of irritated. She was like, what are you gonna do, just let us get like kidnapped? And I was like, I'm sorry, I had to get in this groove because just kind of, this shit isn't like, it's not fun for me.
Yeah.
So I just kind of grinded through it and I was just yelling, who's gonna carry these damn boats? You know what I mean? That's how I get through hikes. Hikes turn out to be stressful for me because that's what I have to do to get through it. You know?
You turned into a workout then. Your legs are good.
Yeah, I did turn into a workout. I power hiked the shit out of that trail. So,
well, I don't do that much hiking because I do so much like running in nature. Is hiking and like if I go on a 20-mile run, is that the same thing as going on a hike?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
1,000,000%. Yeah.
Because that was one of my goals this year, was to do, I think, like 15 hikes. And I didn't, I think I did like maybe 2 like actual walking ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I know I've done more than that running, but I didn't count those. I should count those.
You should definitely count those.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, so the next one's reading, and this really depends on like the material. I don't put TV on here because TV, you're adding more stressors. You're adding a bunch of like flashing lights and stuff like that. Reading is kind of right there along with like meditation. You're being still. You're being mindful. Like you really have to kind of focus on this like on this book. It's not like it's not like watching TV where somebody's telling you the story. Like
TV
you,
is mindless.
Yes.
Reading is mindful.
Yeah, and it also just depends on what you're reading, too. I don't count going through your bills as reading. That's adding more stressors. But if it's something that you like, a nice novel, some nonfiction, something along those lines, or fiction. Fiction would be better than nonfiction.
Yeah, probably.
Some, like, Game of Thrones, some, like, book that you enjoy reading. That's what we mean by reading.
Yeah. You know, I got away from reading ever since we did this podcast, and I guess just this whole part of my life, I got away from reading nonfiction. I don't know why. I really should go back to reading that every once in a while.
You know, I think about that all the time, and I'm like, you know what? Next time I get an Audible book, it's going to be a nonfiction one. Or, yeah. I mean, a fiction
I
one.
I mean fiction. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, like, you know, like just like a good story. And every time I'm about to do one, I'm like, what are, like, I have those.
Your recommendations.
And there's, like, 15 in there that I really want to read. I'm like, damn it.
All right. I know.
I'll just go through one of those.
Yeah, my favorite, like, author was Brandon Sanderson. He writes The Stormlight Archives. And I get, like, email to this day when he releases new books. And every time, I don't know why I just can't. It feels like a waste of time, even though I know it would serve a purpose, even as, like, a de-stressor.
Oh, yeah,
exactly. I know it would, but I, for some reason, I can't justify it. So that's my own hiccup, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably just should, and then once you get exposed to it, you'll love it again and realize
this, I like it. Yeah. I should, yeah.
So this is probably my favorite way to de-stress, is taking baths. Epsom salt is probably the best way because you're getting a big dose of magnesium with it. I prefer bath salts. Bath salts generally have magnesium versus like the bath bombs, which I believe are more sodium-based. We pretty much already have a good amount of sodium in our bodies.
We are salty creatures.
Yeah, we get a lot more sodium from our diets and stuff like that than we do magnesium, so that's why I recommend Epsom salt. And magnesium is a great relaxer. It relaxes your muscles. It pretty much just has that effect throughout your body. It's just relaxing stuff.
Exactly.
So like that's why I recommend Epsom salts. Warm water is definitely better than cold water.
Yeah, for this effect.
Yeah. It just opens up your pores, so you're absorbing more of these minerals through your pores. You can also do cold water baths. I mean, we talked about that with cold exposure a little bit. I don't like them. Especially because I take baths after I work out. If I do a hard workout and then I take a cold bath, I had one time where it took me about 30 minutes to get out of the bath because like my legs were just dead. Like,
oh, really?
They were not moving. I drained the water, turned the hot shower on to like get the blood flow, I guess, back to my legs. It was after a really like tough wrestling practice.
Oh, okay.
And I pretty much had to like crawl out of the bath and like go to bed.
Oh, no, thank you.
I don't know. Like I wasn't in pain. It was just like my lower back and like my legs just weren't working.
Like we're going to sleep now. Sorry.
Oh, you still had your day to go? Oh, we gave up on this thing.
Yeah, it's time to go to bed.
Yeah, so, like, that's... Baths are normally a lot more stress-free than that. Yeah. You're not going to crawl yourself out.
Hopefully.
That was a one-time.
Yeah, I've never crawled out of a bath, thank God.
Massages, these are great. Massages are a little bit more expensive unless you have, like, a really great significant other that will do these to you all the time. Or you have something like the sciatic stretcher or a massage ball or foam roller where you can do these by yourself or maybe just a good massage chair. I don't know. I just got a massage a week and a half ago. Absolutely loved it. I'm going to go back to that same person next month. Probably make that like a 6-week ritual. I wish I had the money to do it like once a week.
Yeah, you said Ben Greenfield gets a 3-hour massage once a week.
Once a week, and then he has... It's some sort of like EMF platform, so he's grounding at the same time.
Oh, I bet he is.
Oh, there's other modalities. The other one I remember is he has like these speakers set up.
With reverse sound waves.
With like the perfect sound wave for like restorative healing.
Uh-huh.
And then it's a 3-hour massage on top of that.
Does he have red lights on too?
Probably. And I know he does some sort of CBD beforehand.
Yeah.
So like the massage therapist can like really get in there without him feeling it.
Okay. Damn.
Which, I really wanted to do this last massage and forgot about it.
Oh, do you have CBD?
No, but it's everywhere now.
Yeah, you can buy it. Yeah, that's true. No, that guy, talk about a biohacker. That dude is a biohacker times a million.
Oh, and talk about the people that live in the mountains and are not exposed to EMFs. That's him.
That's him, yeah.
He gets his house tested and stuff like that. It's kind of crazy.
I'm jealous, though, man. Just there, that's just so unattainable for the vast majority of us.
Oh, yeah, there's no way.
He's in Canada, right?
No, close. He lives in Idaho somewhere.
Okay, it's just, I remember it's cold as shit.
It's Idaho, but I don't think it's, like, the southern part. I think it's, like, more the northern part, where it's, like, Washington's right there, and Wyoming's, like, right there.
Okay.
And probably really close to Canada.
Okay.
Going to Canada is probably closer than us going to LA.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That made no sense to anybody outside of this, but whatever. So yeah, just meditation, yoga, hiking, baths, reading, massages. Those are just a bunch of great ways to de-stress. And then other ways are just limiting your stressors, maybe just eliminating some. Hey, you're always stuck in traffic all the time. Maybe take a different route or leave earlier so you're not stressed on time. There's, you know, there's other ways to de-stress other than just kind of taking all these things.
Yeah, you don't always have to de-stress by adding things to your schedule. You can de-stress by taking things out as well. So just do an audit of your schedule and see where there's things you can fix, these where there's things you can improve, and make those changes.
Yeah, my big de-stressor of the last 2 months was just no training.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, addition by subtraction right there.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend that year-round, but definitely a nice little break helps out.
For sure. Well, you think we cover stress pretty good?
As much as we can and such a short, like, time period. I mean, we could talk about this for days on end.
For days on end, yeah.
I mean, stress, I think, what's this statistic? Like, 90% of doctor's visits are attributed to stress?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean,
just... In, like, a roundabout way?
Well, if you just think about stress impacts your blood sugar, what percentage of doctor visits have something to do with blood sugar?
Yeah, vast majority.
90%?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of everything. And then also, we didn't even talk about how stress is going to make you more prone to illness. Like, I mean, that's another thing.
100%, yeah. The ingestion of sugar can actually hurt your immune system. And like we said, stress in a roundabout way is just like eating sugar. So it definitely suppresses your immune system as well. So there's just so many reasons to de-stress. And there's just find ways to do it if you can. If you're already living a stress-free life, I mean, keep it up.
Call us and let me know your secret. Because, like, you are one of a kind.
I don't stress at all. And I don't think people believe me. I very rarely stress. And
so it's just how I am. You always say that, but you wake up every morning and you wrestle a bear, basically. That's what signals you're giving your body.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily you follow up that bear wrestling match with, like, you eat a bear.
Yeah.
So you're telling your body that you're winning every single day.
Yes.
But, like, you're still living a pretty stressful life.
Yeah. That's true. And I 100% admit to that. As far as... I don't, like, people getting stressed in traffic, I don't get stressed in traffic. People get stressed from their spouses, I don't get stressed from my spouse. It's just, I kind of self-induce stress in a healthy fashion, and, for whatever, it works for me, you know?
And you have those outlets.
I do.
Like, you can push something back, and then have an outlet for it later. Like, that's not a big deal. I mean, you hear about, I mean, this is like a negative standpoint of it, but when like somebody gets home, they've had a really long day, and they kick their dog, it's not because their dog barked. It's because they got cut off in traffic and their boss yelled at them for 30 minutes. It's all these stressors throughout their day.
Yeah.
If that person instead stopped at the gym, had a great workout, and then came home, he'd be stress-free.
He's not kicking his dog.
Yeah, he's not going to kick his dog. He's going to love his dog. You know, like, there's... if he had an outlet. Exactly. Unfortunately, for that situation, like, the dog's the outlet.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, there outlets. Are... You do have a great outlet that you're consistent about.
Yeah, exactly. Very true. But, all right. Well, that's another podcast in the books. Thank you for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed it. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So, feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please feel free to rate and subscribe to our podcast. You can find us everywhere. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Also, there's a donate button if you want to contribute some money to our podcast. You can find that on the homepage of our website. It's a bright yellow button. Just kind of scroll towards the bottom. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.